This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tucker Carlson is here. We have some things to talk about. We have culture war things, the war on children stuff, but mostly I want to talk to you about violence. Next. Let's have a talk about violence, shall we? And the necessity of violence. Just stay with me. For one, I need to let you know Tucker Carlson is going to join us like 10 minutes from now, so that'll always be a good time. But let's talk about something that makes people uncomfortable. Maybe you're already uncomfortable. Violence. Okay, so here is a concern of mine. We, human beings, all of us, you, me, all of us, we will oftentimes say we want things without really processing what that means. For instance, I want to lose weight. You ever said that before? I've been there. Believe it or not, I know I look tall and skinny. I've been a little too frumpy from time to time. I want to lose weight. You want to lose weight? Okay, that sounds good. Everyone who's a little too heavy wants to lose weight. Do you want to sweat? Do you want to hurt? Do you want to sit down in your chair and do that every time you sit down because your legs are so sore? Is that what you want? Oh, I know you want to lose weight. Everyone wants to lose weight. Do you want what it takes to lose weight? So let's get to the violence portion of this. Do you want a secure country? Do you want a country that is safe from people coming into it illegally? And do you want the people who are here illegally to go home? I'm assuming the answer to that is yes. Even the commies who hate watch it, most of them, I would say you're probably saying yes to the television right now. Okay. All right. Hang on to that for a moment. Trump did a big rally, caught a bunch of headlines. He filled Madison Square Garden, which actually is extremely impressive. He did a big rally last night, and one of his campaign talking points, which I love consistently, has been about mass deportation.
On day one, I will launch the largest deportation program in American history to get the criminals out. I will rescue every city and town that has been invaded and conquered, and we will put these vicious and bloodthirsty criminals in jail. I'm going to kick them the hell out of our country as fast as possible.
It's right. It's good. I'm glad we're talking about that. I bet you just cheered just now. If you didn't already see that clip, I bet you went, yeah, that's right, get him out. Okay, so let's have a talk, because this is not specifically about Trump or Congress or anything. It's actually about you and me and what's inside of us and what is right versus what is wrong, what is good versus what is evil. Securing something, securing anything, has to 100% of the time come with at least a threat of violence. Here's what I mean. Let's say you want to walk into my home and take my ice machine. You are jealous that I have a countertop ice machine. You do not. You want mine. And I stand in front of my home and I say, no, I'm running security for my home and you can't come in. Well, why not just walk past me and come in? If you can just walk past me and come in, and I'm never allowed to physically stop you, whether that means hurting you or maybe even killing you, if I'm never allowed to physically stop you, if that's not on the list of things I'm allowed to do, if things get that bad, then come take my ice machine. And if you happen to slip past me and get into my home, I have to, If I really want you out, if I want to protect my home, and more importantly, protect my ice machine, I have to commit violence against you of some kind to get you out of my home and to stop you from taking my prized ice machine. I have to grab you, tackle you, restrain you. Even if I try to go non-lethal, I have to shoot you with pepper spray. And I'll be honest, if I actually did catch you in my home, you would not be lucky enough to have pepper spray. I would fill you full of holes and drag you out front and toss you on the sidewalk. That's just how it would go. I have to commit acts of violence when necessary to secure something, anything. The bouncer who won't let you in the club. Is he just a husky guy who says, no, you can't come in? No. The reason they hired that husky guy is if you try to force your way in, he's going to knock your head off of your shoulders. It has to be part of the equation. So let's go back to something you and I may have to deal with very, very shortly. We are here in the United States of America. We now have, according to estimates, 15% of the people who reside around us are in this country illegally. The globalist communists, not just the ones leading this country, the ones internationally, are completely committed to flooding every Western nation with barbarians whose vote can be bought for a $500 Visa card. They are brought here so they will commit acts of violence. They are brought here so they can eliminate your vote. They are brought here so the elites stop having to worry about the patriotic American. They can simply discard you and bring in 15 million new ones and never have to worry about you at all. It is a focused, intentional effort to destroy the United States of America. And if it is not reversed, not just stopped, if it is not reversed, this country is already finished. Goodbye. See you later. We don't even have 100 years left. That's a guarantee. So, let's say Donald Trump is elected. Was a couple weeks, whatever, I don't know, week, less than 2 weeks. I've lost track of time. Yeah, it's a week and a day. Let's say Donald Trump is elected. What are you comfortable with? We have this thing on the right, and I'm not even going to say at its core it's a bad thing, but we have this obsession with niceness. Even when we want laws enforced, we want it done, and can we be nice? We have to be empathetic. We have to be, how are we being nice? You are going to have to take that part of you, and you are going to have to set it aside. Because the truth is, there's no nice way to tell somebody, you're not welcome here, stay out. And even more so, there is no nice way to take 20, 30 million people, men, women, and children, walk into their homes, into their schools, into the hospital, and tell them, men with uniforms on, come with me. You're leaving this country. It cannot be done nicely. It cannot. And it will involve tears. The propaganda effort around stopping this will be the largest, most pervasive, most evil propaganda effort you have ever seen in your life. It will dwarf the propaganda around BLM, around COVID, the propaganda effort to stop what's happened to this country will be the largest thing. And what you need to understand now, because maybe right now you're puffing out your chest and you're saying, "Not, it won't work on me. It's not going to work on me." Maybe, I hope you're saying that, actually. Maybe that's what you're saying, but you need to understand the propaganda effort is not going to be just a bunch of screaming harpies, no, let all the illegals stay. The propaganda effort is going to be aimed directly at that kind heart that beats in your chest. Tom Homan, great man, he's been on the show before. He went on the news and he said something, and what he said is wonderful, don't get me wrong, but I want you not just to wait for the Tom Homan response, I want you to listen to the question, because this is but a taste of what's to come.
We have seen one estimate that says it would cost $88 billion to deport a million people a year.
I don't know if that's accurate or not.
Is that what American taxpayers should expect?
What price do you put on national security? Is that worth it?
Is there a way to carry out mass deportation without separating families?
Of course there is. Families can be deported together.
It's a great answer. And what I've seen a lot of today is, oh, wow, look how hardcore that is. And I'm here to tell you, that's not hardcore. That's how every country in the history of mankind that wanted to continue being a country, that's how immigration laws are enforced. If you come here illegally, no matter what your age, no matter what your sex is, you will be arrested and you will be sent back to the country you came from. Maybe you'll even do a prison sentence first. That's not barbaric or based or right-wing. That's basic national security. And allow me to finish it up with this one. And I know you're going to get, well, Nash, you won't get mad, but people will get mad about this. And please remember, if you're offended or mad, I don't give a crap. People at the border should be turned away at gunpoint with the threat of violence if they continue on. In the exact same way, you're not allowed to enter my home and take my ice maker. I will use violence if necessary to stop you. That's what should be done at the American border. I know that may hurt your nice heart, and we don't want to, I just want to, can't we enforce laws and be nice? No. The enforcement of laws and the preservation of a nation demands niceness be set aside in the interest of higher things, of better things. Niceness is not a goal to seek out. In fact, you're going to have to tear it out of your heart and set it on the shelf because we have a country to save. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, Tucker Carlson won't be uncomfortable with any of that. My buddy Tucker joins us in a moment. He was actually at that Trump rally in Madison Square Garden. We'll find out if he's hopeful or not and many other things. Before we get to that with Tucker, as you take that niceness out of your heart and you set it on the shelf, I need you to reach up on that shelf and grab your chalk and take it off because you're going to need some. If you're a male, you need to start a male vitality stack now. Natural herbal supplements. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Are you worried that you're going to have the weepies if people are getting deported? That's because your T levels are too low. We can't afford that now. We have a country to save. It's Choctober. There's huge discounts. In fact, they're giving out freebies. Go get a male vitality stack, gentlemen. Have testosterone coming out of your pores. Ladies, you're not left out. Female vitality stacks for you. You want to be healthier, more focused, better energy, and be ready for what's to come? Chuck.com. Use the promo code JesseTV when you get your subscription. Save you some money. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Donald Trump's going to win. He's going to win. I know that that's true. Why is Donald Trump going to win? The people he's about to defeat have no idea. And they're panicked. They have no idea why people like Donald Trump. The first reason that people like Donald Trump is because he likes them. That's why. And the second reason that people love Trump, and I put myself in this category, it's why I'm here today, is because he's liberated us in the deepest and truest sense. And the liberation he has brought to us is the liberation from the obligation to tell lies. You know what the big lie is? The big lie is that they're impressive. That's what the big lie is. That the people in charge have somehow earned the right to rule over you, and they haven't. And you know that. These are the single most useless people in the United States. They have no skills whatsoever. They've got 3/4 of the money, and they didn't earn it. They set up a system precisely for the purpose of awarding themselves wealth and power when it's undeserved.
It feels hopeful now in a way that it didn't a month ago, I would say. I wonder if Tucker agrees that it's really felt like it's recently changed. Anyway, let's ask him. Joining me now, Tucker Carlson, of course, TuckerCarlson.com. I'm sure everyone has already subscribed and watches religiously. I know my mother does. Joining me now, my friend Tucker. Tucker, does it feel like it's changed recently? If you'd asked me a month ago, the RNC even, a couple months ago, whenever that thing was, it didn't feel hopeful. You know, it felt like maybe we'll have a shot. It's going to be a grind. It feels hopeful right now. Does it feel like that to you?
Absolutely. I think Trump is going to win. And I think he's going to win for a lot of different reasons. But here's the main reason I think it. All around you, people are saying what they really think in a way that they haven't, you know, probably in the last 8 years. The crackdown began the second Trump was elected. The crackdown on speech and thinking for yourself, on doing your own research, went into force right after Trump was elected in 2016 and is just now breaking. The spell is breaking. I think Elon Musk had a lot to do with that. I mean, the idea that the most successful person in the world with the most at risk, the guy with the most government contracts, the guy with the most prestige to lose, would risk it all to support Trump in public was really heartening and inspiring for the rest of us, for people who are, you know, kind of felt, you know, they know they've been lied to. They know the COVID thing was just an extended lie. They know the wars that this country has funded and fought over the past 20 years have hurt the country. You know, all the kind of realizations that people have in private but don't feel free to say in public, all of a sudden they can say it because people like Elon Musk are saying it. You know, maybe Donald Trump isn't the problem.
Tucker, you mentioned people feel free to say things now. It feels like the social shame system of this country made it shameful in 16 and frankly in 20 to be a Trump supporter. Now, I realize there were pockets of people who didn't show any shame for that at all. I get that. But for the most part, as the country as a whole, that felt like a shameful thing. Maybe I am in my own bubble. I admit I have put myself in as much of a bubble as possible because I don't want to hang out with dirty communists. But it feels like the social shame system has completely done a 180. And now if you're actually someone who votes for, supports a just despicable human being like Kamala Harris, it almost feels like you're ashamed of it. Even the actors and actresses, you know, all the pedophiles in Hollywood, even they don't seem that into the little stupid ads they do now. Hey, vote Kamala. It's democracy. Doesn't it seem like that?
Absolutely. I mean, so for 8 years, the only people who would admit to liking Trump were the people with not much to lose. They were the people in the, you know, bottom quartile for income in the United States. They were the so-called working class, you know, his base, because they were the only people who could say out loud that they liked Trump. What are you going to do to a tow truck driver? You know, nothing. First of all, we have to have them. It's not like being a Deloitte consultant. We can just get another, you know, girl from whatever, University of Maryland to take your job. We have to have a tow truck driver. And they're sort of below social sanction. But everyone above that, everyone in the striving middle class and above, had to kind of toe the line and tell the lie. And that group of people has been liberated. So like in the deep rural areas, everyone was always for Trump and they still are. But in the suburbs and among young people on college campuses, that's where I really notice it because I've got, you know, kids that age. And you see their friends and like there's nobody who would admit to voting for Kamala Harris at this point. You're a loser. Kamala Harris? Like no one would admit we're voting for Kamala Harris. And that's the mark of the end of something. Like they thought they could bully us into supporting Kamala Harris because she's sort of black or something. And they've just played that card too much. And people are like, I don't care what color she is. She's a loser and a freak. And I'm not going to pretend otherwise. I think that really is real.
Tucker, you've been doing this tour. Everyone's been watching the tour, the highlights, the guests. I got to be one of those guests. It's a great tour, but
you've been
bouncing around the country talking to normal people. I was there watching you talk to normal people, room full of normal people. What have you learned that you didn't know? And, oh, I should note, everybody, what is it, Thursday? Thursday night? The 31st. That is Thursday. Thursday night is the big, it's the finale, right? The blowout, Tucker, Trump, Glendale, yes. Arizona. I will be in attendance with my wonderful mother. So what did you learn crisscrossing the country and now the finale in Arizona?
Well, I mean, I learned what I knew, but I was just reminded of it, that America is a beautiful country filled with really nice people. There's less hatred than advertised. You know, you read endless stories about the race hatred in America. I've never seen any American yell at another on the basis of race. Like, people kind of want to get along, and for the most part, they do get along. So that's nice to be reminded of. They're really nice people. Even the people who vote differently from me, they're mostly nice. It's a small group in charge. They're horrible. Most other people are pretty decent, I would say. And the second thing you learn is that the people in charge have really betrayed the country in a physical way. Like, it's falling apart. The infrastructure's bad. The cities are tired. No one's built anything in a long, long time. You never see a building built in the last 30 years that you would be proud of or want to live in. You know, even the McMansions are depressing and ugly and made out of vinyl. You know, it's like there's been a massive dereliction on the part of the people in charge on the most basic level. If you're in charge, you build things, you make things, you improve the physical surroundings of your people, and they just haven't done that. They've been busy stealing it all. They're Larry Fink. They're just making money off what other people built. And there's something infuriating about that. It really put me in a revolutionary mood.
The election of Trump, if we get that, I don't want to get ahead of my skis here. We got to go out and vote and do our thing and all that. But the election of Trump, and let's hope a lot of down ballot wins as well, may stop or at least slow the bleeding. But can we be reversed? Can what we're going through right now be reversed on a macro level? Historically, it has not. When a nation gets too wealthy, too powerful, its elites get too corrupt and start to loot it like a bunch of bank robbers, that is historically very, very difficult to overcome and reverse. In fact, I can't really think of a time when it happened. Can we do it here?
Right. I mean, look, the precedent suggests no, but we can't see the scope of history. We're just on a, you know, little dot on a very long timeline, on a continuum. And so we can't know what the future holds. We can only do our duty. And our duty is to fight for civilization, for order and for justice and for decency, for kindness, for concern for individual people, not communities or groups, but for the people around us. I mean, that's what we're tasked with doing. That's what every living person at any point in history, from the fall of Rome to the present day, you know, that's your job. You do your job, period. And you do it to the best of your ability, period. And you can't be hopeless. You're not allowed to be hopeless. If you're a Christian, you're required by Christian law, by God's law, to be hopeful. There's faith, hope, and love. And love may be the greatest, but it's preceded by hope. So you have to be hopeful. What do I think about this election specifically? I think Trump's going to win. And I think if they tell me on November 6th that he didn't win, that Kamala Harris won because she's a historic black lady, you know, or whatever, and that she got 85 million votes because people love her, they're going to have to prove to me that's true. I'm not going to accept that at face value. Why would I? They've lied consistently for decades. We now know that. They're liars. They'll say anything to win. They will kill people to win. They allowed Trump to get shot in order to keep control. That's a fact. And so it's not going to be as simple as saying to me, no, she's like much more popular than we ever imagined she was. There was just a groundswell of support for Kamala Harris because she's so enlightened and great and competent. Like, you're going to have to show me how that happened. I'm not going to accept it. If you can show me how it happened, I'm a citizen. I'm an owner of this country. I'm an equity partner here. I'm not an employee. So it's not enough. You got to show me the books. I think that's fair. I mean, it is fair. It's inherently fair. And I think a lot of people have the same feeling that I do. It's not that I won't accept the outcome. It's that I won't accept fraud. And you're going to have to show me how this is not fraud. And so, you know, that's my position.
They don't get to order us to accept it like we're peasants. I love that way of thinking.
I'm not going to accept that. I had a former employee of mine last night, you know, text me, saying stuff like that. You know, he's a full neocon liar, doesn't care about America at all. But I'll just say, he texted me last night, oh, it's really bad for America to say something like that. How is it bad for America to prove what you say? I am not your employee. I am not your slave. I am an owner. I own a share of this country by virtue of my birth in it. I'm a citizen. And so if you're going to force me to do something, you're going to have to prove to me that it's legitimate, that you are legitimate, that your power derives from popular consent. That's democracy, which we have. It's a constitutional republic, but the principle is democratic. The people rule. And so it's not enough to just tell me or shame me or wave a gun in my face. I'm not going to accept that. And I mean, I'm not going to accept that. And I think I speak for a lot of people in saying that. That's totally reasonable. That's consistent with founding principles. That's consistent with justice. And you're not going to bully me into accepting more destruction, including the destruction of my children's future, because you claim you're morally superior to me. I'm not going to accept that. And I would advise every other American not to accept that until they can show that they're telling the truth.
Amen. He is Tucker Carlson, TuckerCarlson.com. Make sure you tune in to this huge rally in Glendale. It's going to be sick. Tucker, I'll see you there, my friend. All right. That was awesome. I feel better. Tucker always makes me feel better. Whenever we hang out, I feel better. Now we have to feel worse. No, we're going to talk about kids, the war on children, why they're going after children. We'll dig into that in a moment. Before we do that, you need a laugh, especially in these days. You need a laugh every now and then. Well, Matt Walsh's comedy, Am I Racist? It's a documentary. It's a documentary that just happens to be hilarious, pants-wetting funny. Obviously, you know about all the records it broke. Matt Walsh, the driest curmudgeon I know in this business, going undercover in this sick DEI industry. And all the biggest names in the industry, he ends up getting an interview with him. And to watch how flabbergasted they are with him, it murders me. It murders me. You want 35% off your Daily Wire Plus subscription? That's the only way you can watch it. You have to become a Daily Wire Plus subscriber. Here's what you do. You go to dailywire.com/subscribe and use the code DEI. All right? DEI. We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
We have some problems in this country. Joining me now to discuss problems just like that, Kara Frederick. She is the Director of Tech Policy at the Wonderful Heritage Foundation, and Corey DeAngelis, who's done many, many things. He has a wonderful book out there called The Parent Revolution. Okay, Kara, let's begin here. I'm trying to understand how twisted one has to get to scream in the face of a young child, especially as a young lady, young women. Maybe I'm just old and stereotypical. I consider young women to be nicer and more empathetic, you know, more motherly. How screwed up do you have to be to do that?
Well, first and foremost, it looks like you have to be on the Kamala Harris side to do that, because we as women, frankly, we have been derelict in our duty to, like you said, to reach out to the more nurturing parts of our nature, to understand biological realities, to frankly be pro-child in our culture today. Unfortunately, you know, I'm a young mom and I am seeing the exact opposite among my cohort and those that are younger. It's this anti-child idea, right? Like, you're in your late 30s and you get to travel and you get to buy a Chanel purse and you get to be on your own buying Prosecco whenever you want. You know what? That is bankrupt. I tell you, I was a girl boss on the way. You know, like some people have said, I cut the last chopper out of NOM in this regard, in terms of meeting a great guy, having a family, and understanding that there's so much more to life. There's so much more to life. It is so sanctifying if you're pro-child, pro-family. But unfortunately, our culture and one party in particular is giving us the exact opposite message. And frankly, it's a lot of females' fault. We should be embracing this idea of family and children. That's all there is to it.
Corey, how much does the education system play into young ladies like that? I mean, Kara correctly points out our culture. How much does the education system bear the blame of young women like that turning into, let's be honest, that's a vicious animal. That's a vicious animal that used to be a human being. What happened to her?
Yeah, she must have attended public schools. Maybe she went all 13 years for the K-12 education, where they're teaching you to hate each other, to hate children, and they're not focused on the basics. They're not teaching kids how to read, write, and do math properly. So these culture wars are inflamed by people like Randy Weingarten and the teachers unions, who want to indoctrinate kids with their leftist ideology. The only way that we take American culture back is to strike at the root, to allow families to have school choice, to take their kids' education dollars to a school that's actually teaching the basics, that's doing a good job, that's teaching their families values, and not trying to divide our country like we see in this viral clip.
Speaking of Randy Weingarten, affectionately known as Communist John Denver on this show, she, for some reason, not sure what happened there, has been doing a lot of public speaking recently. I don't know who told her she was good at it, but here she is.
We're going to make sure that there's housing benefits, that people can have home ownership, that we can attack the price gougers, that we can have unions, that we can have a public school system, that we ban assault weapons, not ban books, that we lift up history, we don't erase it. That's who Alyssa Slotkin is. That's who Kamala Harris is. They want to solve problems. They want to lift things up.
Sorry, I had to adjust my earpiece. That was a lot to go in there at once. Kara, could you explain what you think Randy Weingarten sees in herself before she gets up to speak publicly? If I couldn't speak, I just wouldn't speak, but she shouts and speaks a lot.
Jesse, I would say that Randy needs to stay in her lane, but she has been just absolutely destructive when it comes to her specific lane. So I think Randy just needs to retire altogether. You look at where she's, why was she in Ukraine? Why is she talking about all of these other, having houses and economic policy and whatnot? She has failed at her one job, which is, as Corey knows well, you know, supposed to be helping advance the education of America's youth, and she's done so poorly at that she just needs to get off the stage completely. Somebody's got to give her the hook, because she can't even do her one job well.
Corey, why did she go to Ukraine? I almost forgot about that until Kara just brought it up. Why did the head of the teachers union go to Ukraine?
Who knows? I guess she wanted another paid vacation, or she was trying to get away from the country when the nation's report card scores came out showing decades of learning loss that were partially caused by her union-induced school closures when they held children's education hostage during the COVID era for ransom payments from taxpayers. But look, I don't think she should quit her job. I think she should continue, go and talk more and more. Look at what happened in 2021 when she went and stumped for Terry McAuliffe in Virginia. Glenn Youngkin, the Republican, won on the issue of education. education freedom. And now she's going out stumping for Kamala Harris and looking like an idiot every step of the way. She should continue doing that because she's inadvertently done more to advance school choice and homeschooling than anyone could have ever imagined. Every time she opens her mouth, it should be counted as an in-kind contribution to the school choice movement and to Donald Trump, because she really hates him. And she's just doing a horrible job at running the education system. She tried to say that they made Detroit schools powerful when only 4% of kids are proficient in math, the worst school system in the country. She's taking responsibility for that failure. It is her fault, but it's because they care more about politics than education.
Kara, your particular area of expertise, you and I have talked about it many times, is big tech. And obviously we've all lamented how biased and twisted and frankly evil big tech has been over the years. We're not talking about that a lot now. What aren't we seeing? I have a very hard time believing they've moderated things over there at Google these days. What aren't we seeing?
Yeah, they haven't. What we're not seeing is a lot because there is an extensive CYA campaign. You might have seen Mark Zuckerberg came out and said, oh, you know, we did wrong when we suppressed COVID-19 misinformation, right? We did wrong when we suppressed the Hunter Biden laptop story, because I think these guys are hedging their bets. Yet, as I tell everyone, don't take that victory lap for free speech just because somebody like Mark Zuckerberg says mea culpa to a degree, because we know that in the background, they are continuing to censor apace. We've seen it again and again, not just with Meta actually downranking that photo of Trump raising his fist defiantly in the air during his first assassination attempt, but we've seen it with Google. We've seen it with their search results. You know, when people tried to search for Trump assassination, they weren't getting what happened. They weren't getting proper search results. Google was not surfacing real information. You might have seen Amazon's Alexa. They came out and said that there was no reason to vote for President Trump, that they couldn't talk about it, but the reasons were legion to vote for Kamala Harris. So big tech, make no mistake, they're continuing to do what they've always done in election cycles and suppress information that is not going to help the left. Right now, they're just being a little bit more savvy in the public eye about it because they know there was such a backlash given what they did in the 2020 election cycle. I'm telling everyone, they are smart. Don't fall for it, guys. All of the censorship is happening in the background.
No doubt. Kara, Corey, thank you both. I appreciate it. Didn't think you were going to be able to save a life while watching I'm Right tonight, did you? But you can. Costs money, $28. You see, right now there is a baby growing in its mother's womb, and this baby is about to die because mom's going to kill it. She's seeking out an abortion, and preborn is going to try to get to her first and offer her an ultrasound for free. And if she goes in, if they can get her in for that free ultrasound, if she hears the heartbeat, she will choose life. Almost every time they choose life. Without that ultrasound, that baby's going to die. That's what preborn does. I love them. I have loved them forever. They have saved so many babies. I take that back. You and them have saved so many babies. It's tax deductible. You can give whatever you want. $28 buys the ultrasound. Give whatever you want. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Oh, what concessions would be on the table? Religious exemptions, for example, is that something that you would consider?
I don't think we should be making concessions when we're talking about a fundamental freedom to make decisions about your own body.
To Republicans like, for example, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, who would back something like this on a Democratic agenda if, in fact, Republicans control Congress, would you offer them an olive branch? Or is that off the table? Is that not an option for you?
I'm not going to engage in hypotheticals.
No religious exemptions, you see? You're a Catholic doctor, Christian nurse. Sorry, too bad, so sad. Kill it! These people, you think we're not against evil? They tell you all the time we are. Joining me now, Abby Johnson, former Planned Parenthood director turned probably the best pro-life advocate in the country. Abby, these people, they've made an entire election about killing babies. I've honestly never seen anything like it. I've known, you know, abortion's the Democrat position. I got all that, but they've based an entire election off it. They think this issue is popular enough nationally, they can win the presidency on it.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. And unfortunately, it has become so popular that the GOP felt like they needed to become, you know, really tolerant of abortion instead of being no compromise pro-lifers, which is essentially what the GOP has been for decades. And so they felt like they had to moderate on abortion, which shows how much pressure the Democratic Party has put on our country to normalize and accept abortion.
How did we twist up young ladies in particular so much on this issue? I know there's not one thing, and I know it didn't happen in one day, one election or anything like that. I realize there's a lot to it, but man alive, the numbers say, Abby, that a young, especially young single women, they will vote on this issue and this issue alone. It doesn't matter what else is at stake. How did we do that?
Yeah, that's a good question, Jesse. I think one thing is that we have, or the Democratic Party has told women a bunch of lies. So they have told women that their rights are at stake. They have told women that their bodily autonomy is at stake. And they have told them probably the biggest lie of all, that if abortion is not accessible to them, that they will die. And they've used these examples of women who have died from abortion, like Amber Thurman in Georgia. And they have said to these women, if you don't have abortion, you will die like Amber Thurman. And they blame pro-life laws for women like Amber Thurman. They blame pro-life laws for her death. Instead of looking at the reality and saying, if Amber Thurman would have never had an abortion, she would be alive today. And so they're just lying to women. And they are, instead of saying pro-life laws are here to protect you and your child, they're saying pro-life laws are here to kill you. Instead of looking at the reality and saying abortion is actually something that could kill you.
How could anyone be dumb enough to believe that?
Well, I mean, the real answer is that the enemy, our enemy, which is not really Kamala Harris. I mean, the enemy is Satan. The enemy is sin. It's very, very seductive and is very tricky. And if you say something enough times, people will believe it. And the Democratic Party and the secular media has said it so many times that people believe it. And then you even have these people's family going on TV. Amber Thurman's mom, who of course is a strong Democrat, right? She's going on TV saying the pro-life laws are what killed my child, because she's looking for someone to blame instead of saying, the problem was that my daughter went to an abortion facility, took pills to kill my grandchild, and that's what ended up taking her life. Because we can't actually call abortion what it is, and that's murder. And when you participate in murder, there are sometimes consequences. There are sometimes earthly consequences. And unfortunately, with abortion, sometimes that earthly consequence is that your life will be taken as well. And that's the unfortunate consequence of abortion. We can't escape it. But they don't want to call abortion what it is. And they don't want to actually talk about the real risks of abortion.
How many states have abortion on the ballot this coming November? How many states do we have to worry about legions of women coming out and voting on something?
Yeah, there's about a dozen right now where we're looking at constitutional amendments where this, whatever ballot initiative it is, whatever they're calling it, referendums, could actually change the state's constitution, which in a sense would wipe out any current pro-life legislation in that state. The one that everybody is looking at, I think the most closely, is Florida with their Amendment 4. And so many of us have been on social media encouraging people to vote no on Amendment 4. Florida is, as most of us know, a pro-life state. Governor DeSantis, obviously very staunchly pro-life. But people are now voting on, which is not how we do legislation, okay? By the way, this whole popular vote thing that's happening right now, this is not how we legislate, okay? But this is what Donald Trump wanted. So Donald Trump wanted the will of the people. He wanted everybody to go to a ballot box and basically check yes or no on the murder of innocent human beings. And so that's what we're doing now. The consequences are going to be whether states allow, if people vote yes on these amendments in the state of Florida, if people go to the ballot box and they vote yes on Amendment 4 in the state of Florida, they are going to be allowing abortion potentially up to 9 months gestation up until the date of birth for any child for any reason, and it could possibly be taxpayer funded. That's what's on the line in these many states.
We have come a long way from safe, legal, and rare, haven't we, Abby? Which was, of course, always a lie. That was the gateway drug to bring us to, well, I mean, where we are now, a Phoenician society of monsters.
Yeah, I mean, safe, legal, and rare was simply a talking point. Because if we think about that argument, Jesse, and I know you'll agree with me, but if we think about safe, legal, and rare, that on its own doesn't even make sense, right? Because the abortion industry has always thought that abortion was a societal good, right? Because that's what Roe was argued on. They said, if Roe is passed, if Roe is the law of the land, then crime is going to be down. Then, you know, these unwanted children living in these impoverished homes, it's going to be down. Domestic violence is going to be down. Child abuse is going to be down. That's not what we've seen. We've seen quite the opposite, right? So they've always believed that abortion is a societal good. So if something is good, why do you want it to be rare, right? Like I think steak is a good thing. I don't want steak to be rare. Well, you may want it to be rare, the temperature, but I want it to be plentiful, right? I don't want it to be hard for me to find a steak in this country, right? I want it to be accessible to everyone. So if they believe that abortion is a societal good, why do they want it to be hard for a woman to access it? See, that's always been a lie. And that's how we know it's been a lie, because their goal at the end of the day has been for abortion to be accessible to everyone. And that's what they've been trying to do. That's why we see some states like California, where you don't even have to be a doctor to commit abortions anymore. A nurse can commit an abortion in the state of Florida, in the state of California. And it's like that for many other states. And that's their goal. It does not have to be safe. It does not have to be legal. And they certainly do not want it to be rare. They just want access. And if that means the woman dies, they're fine with that. as long as she was able to kill her child. That's the only thing that matters.
What a place we're at. Abby, you are the best. Thank you. Come back soon. All right. Final thoughts. Next.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And I just thought there's no better way to lighten the mood than to celebrate the latest Kamala Harris accent.
Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. The path may seem hard, the work may seem heavy, but joy cometh in the morning. And church, morning is on its way.
I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.